It's widely accepted that the history of Christianity is steeped in martyrdom. Jesus died on the cross. Most of his apostles met gory and untimely ends. Many of his early followers were relentlessly and gruesomely persecuted for their beliefs. But what if this history is false? What if many of these stories were systematically exaggerated, forged, and fabricated? In the new book, The Myths of Persecution, How Early Christians Invented a Story of Martyrdom, Candida Moss, a leading scholar of Christian history and professor of New Testament and early Christianity at the University of Notre Dame, argues that the widely heralded Age of Martyrs is pure fiction. It's a great pleasure to welcome Candida Moss to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
I thank you for your time, and I thank you for this book, because I found it fascinating. What brought you, let us talk about the myth of how you, when you started to personally question some of these stories and think about it as a myth.
Right. Well, like a lot of people, I grew up with this understanding that Christians were constantly hounded and sort of sought out by the Romans and systematically executed. And I started to notice very early on in my studies that a number of the stories were much later, sometimes were composed as long as a millennium after the events that they purported to describe. And as I started to sift through the scholarship on this and the early Christian evidence, it became clear that the Romans really weren't persecuting the Christians that much. There were a couple of years in 257 and from 303 to 305 that the Romans were actually targeting Christians, but that the history that I had grown up with, that simply wasn't true. The Romans had reasons for executing Christians. They were politically subversive, and that was something that I had never learned. And when I listened to politicians or religious leaders talk about Christians being persecuted today as they were in the early church, I realized that something was wrong and that we really needed to get rid of this idea of the age of the martyrs.
So let me ask you about how we should look at this, in the sense of you teach at Notre Dame. This is a Catholic institution, and so how does this view go down there, and compare that to how that tinges our political debate, meaning what happens in the church can be very different than how we spin it for a political conversation.
Right. Well, I do think this is something that even at Notre Dame, it's difficult for some people to hear this. You know, we have great emotional attachments to saints. It is possible, however, to venerate and respect martyrs without buying into the kind of history that developed out of these stories, which is that Christians are constantly persecuted. You can appreciate the courage and virtues of these individuals without then pulling this idea into sort of contemporary politics and religious discourse and deciding that Christians are always persecuted and that whenever we have a disagreement with someone, it's because we're being persecuted.
So when we look to a political discussion, and during the most recent campaign, you have Mitt Romney saying to Barack Obama that you're waging a war on religion, that is taking this persecution myth, as you call it, and spinning it to a control where Christians are once again being persecuted.
That's right. This is very hyperbolic rhetoric. This is very strong to accuse someone of waging war on Christians. And it wasn't just Mitt Romney. It was Rick Santorum. It's a lot of media pundits. It's not even just people who are right-wing. And the problem with this language, and it's not just Election Day banter, but the problem with it is that it's very polarizing. It doesn't invite discussion. If you accuse someone of persecuting you, they are acting unjustly and out of hatred. There's really no discussion to be had there because they're persecuting you. And you can't really collaborate with them. You can't work together for a common good. This is really sort of conversation-ending rhetoric. And it's also just sort of inaccurate. There are places in the world where people of lots of different religious traditions are persecuted. And when we sort of bandy about this language of persecution, we're making it impossible for people to hear those stories.
So when you look at the other major religions, I mean, they're all persecuted, right? I mean, isn't that sort of what it's all based on?
Yes, that's what's really interesting. Pretty much representatives of every religious group, including secularists and atheists, have been persecuted, have ended up as martyrs. And sometimes the reasons for that are really complicated. But when Christians tend to talk about persecution, they sort of tend to assume that their martyrs are sort of morally superior to martyrs from other groups. And when we talk about, say, how Christians are persecuted around the world, we tend to obscure the fact that in some countries, that persecution isn't just about Christians, it's about a lot of religious groups. So when you hear people talk about Christians being persecuted in China as part of global persecution, what's being hidden from view is the fact that lots of religious groups are persecuted in China, including, say, the Falun Gong. And so we need to be really attentive to the fact that there is injustice against representatives of many religious groups. And I think that as human beings, that injustice demands our attention and action.
I found one of the most fascinating parts of the book toward the end, where you have a chapter on the invention of the persecuted church. And I mean, you really pinpoint this to a very seismic change of where this invention came about.
Yeah, that's what's really interesting, is that when you look at the evidence, you can actually watch. It's almost like watching textural plastic surgery or something. You can watch these martyr stories being changed and this history being invented, sort of with the rise of Constantine, with the Christianization of the Roman Empire. You can see Christians taking this story about martyrs and saying, this is really useful. And in this new Christian era, the new persecutors are going to be Christian dissidents, so heretics, people who disagree with their bishops. They're now the new persecutors. So what we can see historians like Eusebius and Sozomen and other people I write about in the book doing is sort of exaggerating the history of persecution in order to exclude heretics. And we can also see in small towns that are trying to attract pilgrims, we can see people writing martyrdom stories in order to get wealthy pilgrims to come to their towns and spend money.
I want to read a sentence from the book. This is in The Invention of the Persecuted Church. When conspiracy theories about early Christianity circulate, they often depict an organized cohort of Catholic priests and bishops meeting in secret at night in hooded cloaks in order to fabricate evidence, mislead, or control the populace, and generally work mischief for their own ends. For those who enjoy a good iconoclastic conspiracy, it's an appealing image, yet when it comes to the early church, it's an idea unlikely to hold much water. I ask this question as the Catholic Church gets ready to name a new pope. We have a conclave, a group of cardinals will go into the deep recesses of the Vatican and work out really the future of the Catholic Church. So are we seeing a change in the sense of this myth of persecution or martyrdom, or do you think that we are, given what certainly the Catholic Church, but given what many religions have faced recently, is this something that we are moving away from?
Do you mean, are we moving away from...
meaning, is it taken... and meaning, yes, this myth of persecution, are we looking... Do you think that this is in the minds as we create a new future, specifically for the Catholic Church, as we create this new future and we look for a new leader, do you think that this is on anyone's mind about this myth of persecution?
You know, it's really interesting, and so much is going to depend on who's elected as Pope and how they choose to speak about the Church. When Benedict was elected, he spoke about the tyranny of relativism in the West, and he has described the Church as under attack. He's actually used the idea of persecution to describe the Church, not just around the world, but in the West.
Right.
And will we, with the new Pope, will we have someone who sort of styles himself as a warrior Pope, defending the Church from the onslaught of secularism and liberalism in the West, and then from non-Christian authorities in other parts of the world? Or will we have a Pope who will choose to sort of see himself in a more pastoral role as someone who's sort of a kind of cultural ambassador for the Church? And I think that the tone and how the Pope sees himself as acting is going to be so critical for the future of the Catholic Church, because a lot of people see the sort of rhetoric that Benedict and some American bishops have employed recently as sort of over the top and sort of borderline dangerous in inciting sort of polarized political views and sort of a very violent perspective against anyone who's not part of the Catholic Church.
For those of us who, and we only have about a minute left, but for those of us who attend Mass or who go to services each week in the readings, in the Christian readings, no matter what branch of Christianity we engage in, do you think that the readings and the overall message is one that still embraces martyrdom?
I think that it is possible to embrace the idea of standing firm for what you believe in and suffering like Christ. I think that what we have to give up is the idea that people are always out to get us,
right,
and that we're part of this overarching history of the persecuted Church.
I can't tell you how much I enjoyed reading this. It's really fascinating stuff, and I always enjoy a book that I really thought nothing about and learned something completely new, and I thank you very much. The name of the book is The Myth of Persecution, How Early Christians Invented a Story of Martyrdom. It's published by Harper One. Candida Moss, a great pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.